All right, good morning, everyone. So let's begin. Our shir is dedicated by the Gross family, Le'iloi Nishmas, Chano Ruvein, Ben Moshe Aaron, Shalom Yishai, Zichron Levracha, Ben Rabbi Yitzchak, Mordechai Fishel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nishamas will have an Aliyah and the family in a Chamaf. Thank you for the sponsorship. Okay, so let's begin. Actually, we're going to continue Emir Tzashem this week with Perek Nun Aleph, being that this is our last shir for the semester. The truth is, we'll probably study Nun Aleph into the next semester as well, because as already we began to discuss last week, this particular capital is exceptionally, they're all important and they're all impactful and they all contain a whole variety of different ideas, but this particular capital is exceptionally important in the scheme of David HaMelech's life and in the scheme of Sefer Tehillim. So just a quick reorientation. So we began with number one last week, Lam Natzeach, Mizmor LeDavid. So remember again, very quickly, what intrigued us from the beginning is the double lashon, the double wording of Lam Natzeach and Mizmor, which seem to indicate to us that this is an exceptionally joyous capital, an exceptionally joyous chapter of Tehillim. Yet we discuss the idea that this particular chapter of Tehillim focuses on David HaMelech's episode with Bathsheba. And we know this because, again, the second pasuk tells us, Bevo elav Nasan HaNavi kasher ba el bas shava. So as Nasan HaNavi, remember again, we discussed the story in Tehillim yesterday. Oh yes, excuse me, last week, that Nasan HaNavi is the one who confronts, it's pretty good, usually it takes like 15 minutes. So when Nasan HaNavi comes and confronts Bathsheba, comes and confronts David after the episode with Bathsheba, David HaMelech creates a paradigm for tshuva. He creates ultimately, again, the picture-perfect frame of how a person is supposed to own their mistakes, take responsibility for their mistakes, and then rebound from their mistakes. And this is the important point that we discussed last week, which is there is no rebound or recovery from mistakes in life without first taking ownership over them. This is an incredibly important yisod, which is very often if we find ourselves struggling with certain things in life and we're unable to somehow kind of get over the hump and somehow rebound and recover, often it's because it's a lack of ownership. If I deflect the blame for my missteps and my misgivings, if I deflect the blame for the things that are going wrong for me in life, you know, at some point in time, it's true, there are things that happen to us in life that happen because other people visit circumstances upon us. That is true. But often people visit other circumstances upon us because we place ourselves in certain situations. We make ourselves susceptible to certain things. At the end of the day, the only way to recover and to rebound from anything in life is to take ownership over those circumstances. I own this. I'm responsible for this. Maybe not fully responsible, maybe partially, but this is my ownership over these circumstances. Then I can rebound and recover. And that's what David HaMelech teaches us. What I want to focus you today on is one pasuk. And you're going to see this to me is one of them. This kapitel happens to be filled with exceptionally dramatic psukim verses. And again, remember, because the topic of this kapitel is tshuva, so much of what we know about tshuva, about the process of repentance and return, comes from this kapitel. So if you take a look at pasuk hey, ki pisha'ai ani eda v'chatasi negdi samid. David HaMelech makes an incredibly simple yet dramatic statement. Keep sha'ayani eida, and again you can look in English number 5, for I know my transgressions, v'chatosi negdi summit. And literally, again, my sin is always before me. I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. So what does this mean? So if you take a look at number 2, so the Metzudas David says the following. He says, achatasani eida, makir ani shepashati, v'toeha ani alav. So according to the Metzudas David, ki pisha'ai ani eida means, I acknowledge my sins. Makir ani shepashati. Remember again, in the Maimonian construct for tshuva, right, going to the Rambam, what's the first step in tshuva? Sorry? Recognizing. You see, everyone thinks according to the Rambam, that it's vidui, that's confession is the first step. The truth is, there's a precognitive step to vidui. Vidui, right, is when I confess my sin. Chatasi, avisi, pashati, lefanecha, ashamnu, bagadnu, alcheit, that's vidui. So it's interesting, when you look at the wording of the Rambam, I should have put this on the sheet, I apologize. So the Rambam says, Kishe Ya'aseh Tshuva, again, this is in Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 1, halacha 1, the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, Kishe ya'ase tshuva, when a person will do tshuva, v'yachzor mecheto, chayiv l'hisvados. He's obligated to go out and do vidui. So Rav Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a beautiful sefer called Hirhurei Tshuva. It's a small little sefer that he wrote on Hilchos Tshuva. So what he asks is, and actually chooses Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, asks the same exact question, which is, what does the Rambam mean when he says that phrase, Kishe ya'ase tshuva? When you do tshuva. Meaning, just cut out a couple of lines and just simply say, when a person does tshuva, right, go ahead and, Rav Gifter. Go ahead and, tells Rashi Shiva, go ahead and do tshuva. Just speak about vidui. What do you mean, kishi yasa tshuva? And Rav Gifter says that there is a cognitive state of tshuva. The cognitive state is, before I do anything, before I go ahead and I confess, before I go ahead and I clap my before I do anything, I recognize something needs to change. That's the first step in tshuva. Something in my life needs to change. I'm not operating on all cylinders. Life can be better. Life should be better. I can be better. That's the first step. So according to the Mitzvah, that's David. So David HaMel says, "Ki pesha'ai ani eda." I know something's wrong. I know something's wrong. And by the way, the greatness of David HaMelech is, you know, we've spoken about this before. Of course you know something's wrong. The Nabi just came along and told you about what you did with Bathsheba. So Shkoyach, you know something's wrong. Right? If the Prophet came to me and exhorted me, also I don't know if something's wrong. But David HaMelech is saying something much more profound. You know, we've spoken about this in the past. The Gemara brings down that there are certain people that don't have a chilek in Olam Habo. Certain people that don't have a portion of the world to come. And understand, that's a very dramatic statement, because we operate with the principle that kol Yisrael yishlem chilek, every Jew has a portion of the world to come. But the Gemara says there are certain people who lose their portion. One of those people is the Mesachik Bekuvya. Mesachik Bekuvya means a gambler. A gambler doesn't have a portion of the world to come. Now, don't get nervous if, you know, you went on a sisterhood trip to Atlantic City. This doesn't apply. Right? It means a career gambler. A career gambler. Someone who gambles for their parnosa. Such a person like that does not have a portion of the world to come. Now, you'll say to yourself, but one second, I didn't steal from anyone. I didn't do anything. So the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara says, Mipnei she'eino osek b'yeshuvo shel olam. It is the job of every single human being to contribute to greater society in one way. So whether you are a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a garbage man, whatever, it doesn't make a difference, but your life has to contribute something to greater society. If you just sit at the gambling table and all you do is you take money, you are not contributing to greater society at all. And therefore, again, you have no portion of the world to come. So the Gemara says, which by the way is an incredible idea about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. It's not just that God wants us to learn Torah, not just that God wants us to do chesed, to do mitzvos. God wants us to be contributors. He wants us to be givers to greater society, to the greater world. So the Gemara says, so what happens? What happens if the gambler wants to do tshuva? What happens? So the Gemara says, he has to smash his dice. That's his tshuva. He has to smash his dice. So if Soloveitchik asks, he says, I don't understand. Why does he have to smash his dice? Why can't he go ahead and just put the dice right in the break front? Right? Just go ahead, put it up on a high shelf. Right? And why does he have to smash it? And the Rav says so beautifully, because as long as those dice are in existence, he's tethered to that world. So the Rav says something amazing. Rav says, sin does not occur in a vacuum. Sin is a manifestation of multiple smaller steps that perhaps each one individually is not all that significant, but when combined, form a pattern of behavior that lead me to a certain direction. And so therefore, tshuva, says the Rav, is not just simply saying, I'm sorry for what I did, or I'm not going to do that again. You know what real tshuva is? Real tshuva is asking myself the most difficult of all questions, which is, how did I get here? How did I get here? Because the negative act is just one event. The negative act is like the apex, it's the zenith of a whole variety of smaller life activities that led me to this point. And by the way, when you begin to think like this, it's exceptionally instructive. Because if I get myself into trouble in life, and to ask myself, how, it's like, you know, when you lose your keys, what do? You retrace your steps. When you lose your way in life, what do? You retrace your steps. How did I get here. You know, sometimes we do things, and I say to myself, you know what? It's so not me. It's so not me. This behavior is so beneath me. This act is so beneath me. And so I have to ask myself, how did I wind up in this place? And it's amazing because when a person begins to retrace their spiritual steps, what they begin to see is, I made this decision, I made that decision. Now, this decision is not such a big deal by itself, but when it borders on the next one and it latches on to the next one, it creates an entire series and pattern of behaviors that totally derailed me from the direction I wanted to go in. So you see that tshuva is never just, it's what the Rav calls, the Rav says, there's the chait, there's the sin, and there's the derech hachotim. There's the pathway to sin. So the Rav says, I'm sorry, just let me finish out the circle. The Rav says, that's why, again, the professional gambler has to ask himself, how did I get into this? I mean, how did I end up with this life? How did I end up with this crowd? How is it that this is the entire essence of my existence? So very often when he retraces his steps, what does it retrace back to? His first set of dice, right? You know, if you own your own dice, you know that you're going down the wrong path. Hey, so that first set of, that was my first entry into a lifestyle that was not right for me. So if he keeps the dice, that he hasn't broken the chains of that negative lifestyle. It's only once he breaks the dice that he says, you know what? I'm starting a new path. I'm blazing a new trail. So bring this back to number two. When David HaMelech says, Kipish Sha'ai Ani Eda. If you notice, what's interesting about that phrase? Kipish Sha'ai Ani Eda. I'm sorry? First of all, it's future tense. Good, excellent. We're going to talk about that. What else? Pisha'ai is? Plural. Remember, the topic of this capital is Batsheva. Right? So remember again, why Kipesha, I know my sin. Davina says, but I recognize that what happened with Batsheva didn't happen in a vacuum. There must have been a series of lead-up events. Because David Melech Yisrael, the great tzaddik, the father of the dynastic monarchy, the father of Mashiach, cannot just have such a serious slip-up in morality without preceding factors. So David Melech says, in order for me to get a handle on this, I need to take a step back and I need to look at my life. How am I living? What am I doing? What types of activities am I engaging in? Who am I keeping company with? All of these things, David HaMelech says, oh, I'm going to fix this. I need to own not just the sin, but I need to own the situation in its entirety. And by the way, you understand why this is such a profound insight into tshuva. You know, we often speak about the idea that why is it that we find ourselves often struggling with the same things year in and year out. I know that very often when I come before the Ribono Shel Olam HaChodesh Elul Yomim Noraim, you know, there's good news and bad news. The good news is there aren't too many new sins. That's the good news. The bad news is it's always the same stuff. It's always the same stuff. And it's infuriating. It's personally, why can't I kicked the habit, so to speak. Meaning, why am I constantly finding myself pulled back into the same behaviors? And what's the answer? Deep down, the real answer is because I don't really want to do what I have to do. See, I'm happy to tackle the behavior, but it's never really just about the behavior. It's about the lifestyle. It's about all of the other stuff that's going on because sin does not occur in a vacuum. Sin is the culmination of a lifestyle. Sin is the culmination of a variety of other factors. Sin is a function often of my social circles. Sin is a function of so many different smaller decisions. And so what I realize is, if I want to go ahead and I want to change that behavior, I want to change that act, I can't just tackle the behavior. Sometimes I realize, oh my gosh, I have to tackle an entire lifestyle. So then when I realize that, what do? I just say, okay, I'll say more tehillim. I'll take on more tehillim. I'll give more tzedakah. Right? I'll learn Shmiras HaLashon. You know, whatever it is. Once I realize all of that incredible work, I say, you know what? I'm not ready. Because again, that is a Herculean task. it's a Herculean task to smash the dice. Because often if I have to smash the dice, there are so many other parts of my lifestyle that come into question besides just the negative act. And so often, when actually, you know, when I have to face it head on, I'm ready to stop sinning, but I'm not necessarily ready to change other aspects in my life or other aspects of my lifestyle. And that's why year in and year out, we often find ourselves battling the same exact demons. It's not because we're not strong, and it's not because chas v'shalom we're weak, and it's not because we don't care. It's because at the end of the day, I'm not really willing to pull the trigger on smashing the dice and changing all of the other things in my life that have to go ahead and have to change in order to remedy this negative behavior. So the greatness of David HaMelech is chata ki pisha'ai, plural. Ribono shel olam, this is not just about Batsheva. This is about me. This is about my lifestyle. This is about, I have to take a step back and ask myself, how did I, David HaMelech, the man who speaks with God, the man who sings to God, the father of the Mashiach, how did I get myself into this mess? And he goes on, he says, V'chatasi negdi samit. Now, interestingly enough, if you look in the second line number, towards me, chatasi negdi samit, liskorbo, I constantly remember my sin, lidog alov, and I worry about it. Now, why do I worry about it? So there's two possibilities as to why I would worry about it. So number one, the power of worrying is that what it says is, David HaMelech says, once I know that I have made a mistake in a particular area, that means that I know I could make this mistake again. So therefore, again, I live in a state of constant and perpetual worry, lest I repeat the mistakes of my past in the present. And by the way, now you also understand the future, Lashon. Keep Shai Ani Eda. Once I've done this, I know nothing is beyond me. I know that once I've done this, then I am capable and I have the capacity to do a lot of other stuff as well. And therefore, I live my life with a fear of sin, a fear that I may sin again. And by the way, this is the mission of us. What does the mission of us say? Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. What does it mean? Don't believe in yourself until the day that you die. What a terrible, we should always believe in ourselves. What it means is, don't believe that you are above temptation. Don't believe that any sin is beyond your capacity or reach until the day that you die. The one good thing, the one incredible thing about death is, you are no longer susceptible to any temptations. That's Baruch Hashem, that's the good news. The bad news is you're dead, but the good news is that there are no more temptations, right? There's no more Yetzirah. I am free. But says the Mishnah, until that day, I'm susceptible to anything and everything. So David HaMelech, according to the Metzudas David, makes a twofold statement. Number one, Ribono Shel Olam, I recognize that if I'm going to fix this sin, it's not just about Batsheva, but I have to analyze my lifestyle. I have to look at how I'm living. That's number one. And number three, Ribono Shel Olam, now that I had this major slip, and I also know that I have to be ever vigilant. I have to be vigilant now for the rest of my life. Because once I've done this act, it shows me I have the capacity to make mistakes, even in the most severe of fashions. And therefore, I must live my life with a constant and ongoing vigilance. You know, it's an incredible lesson to live life with vigilance. The sad part is, it's almost like what David HaMelech is saying is, there's a little bit of a loss of innocence. Now that I've done this, I recognize that I have the capacity and ability to engage in all types of behaviors. There's a certain part of my own personal innocence that has been lost, and I must be ever vigilant not to repeat these same mistakes. Take a look at number three. So the Tolvos Yaakov Yosef brings down a different approach. He says, and this is actually quite dramatic. He says, "V'hinei ahefresh yesh bein ha'adam ha'shalom bein ish ha'moni, ki adam ha'kasher ha'nikra zachar, ha'shem shezocher ma'shechatu marad negdo yisparach, kimo shekasa v'chatasi negdi samid, aval ma'asim ha'tovim eino zocher." So the Tolvos Yaakov Yosef, and I put his, this is Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoi, who, together with the Maggid of Mezrich, was pretty much one of the Baal Shem Tov's greatest Talmidim. See, he says something over here that at first glance is almost a little bit shocking. He says that David HaMelech is teaching us the following. V'chatosi negdi somid means, in life, you have to always remember your sins. Aval ha-ma'asim tovim eino zocher. But you don't have to keep such close track of your good deeds. In other words, that your sins should be ever present in front of you, but don't be so meticulous with the accounting of your good deeds. So what does that mean? So first of all, he says something that is absolutely dramatic. Listen to this. I'm in number three, the third line, last line on the page. Ukimo she-shamati mi-harav ha-magid. He heard from the Maggid of Mezrich. He says, "Bepasa kol ha-bein ha-yilod ha-yo-ora tash-lichuhu." Get ready for this. What does it mean, Paro? Right? We're going to read this. We're going to read this in next week's parasha. So Paro says to Shifra and to Pua, he says to them, any child that is born, throw the boys, throw them into the river. So look what the Maggid says. Ki aben hu ma'asim tovin. The ben, the zohar, the male, represents ma'asim tovin, good deeds. So good deeds, throw them into the river. She'ino meisbot v'chalabas. Now, before you jump down my throat on this one. V'chalabas shehi averos, the daughter, which symbolizes averos, tichayun. You could keep alive. Now, first of all, where did the Maggid get the male-female distinction for mitzos and averos? So I was very tempted to leave this whole thing off because there's really no good way for me to get out of this. But remember, it's a very simple idea. It goes back to Adam and Chava. It goes back to Adam and Chava, that very often in Kabbalistic literature, chet is often referred to in the feminine because of Chava's role. And again, I don't want to get into laying blame anywhere, but, right? There's no question that it was Chava ultimately, again, who makes the mistake of eating from the Eitz Das Tovara and gets Adam to sin as well. It's Chava's fault. Adam HaRishon's sin in all of this was that in a moment where he should have been a support for his wife, helping her rebound from her mistake, he shifts all of the blame to her. That was Adam HaRishon's sin, and not owning his own personal responsibility in this. But the chet of the Eitz Das Tovara was the chet of Chava. She fell prey too to really the seduction of the nachash, of the snake, and ultimately again sins. So therefore in Kabbalistic literature, chet is often referred to in the feminine, and mitzvah referred to in the masculine. So the Maggid of Mezrich says something absolutely amazing over here. He says, this is the meaning in the pasuk. Kala bein hayilot hayo'ora tashlichuhu. Ultimately again, the bein refers to the mitzvos. Don't reflect on your mitzvos. Don't reflect on your good deeds, right? Throw them away. But your averos, make sure you keep your averos front and center in front of you at all times. So what does this mean? So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef is saying something exceptionally profound. What he's saying is, don't get carried away with your accomplishments. Because no matter how much I've accomplished in life, there is always much more to accomplish. And the reality is, and this is a difficult reality sometimes to hear, no matter how much I've done, I'm touching the tip of the iceberg. I'm skimming the tip of the iceberg in terms of my personal potential and abilities. So don't spend your time in life reflecting on all of your accomplishments. Don't spend your time in life reflecting on all the wonderful things. Yes, you can give yourself a momentary shkayach, a momentary pat on the back, and then the Jew always asks himself or herself one simple question, which is, what's next? Two words. That's the mantra for the Jew. What's next? Great. This is wonderful. Fantastic. What's next? Because I live life with a particular urgency, recognizing that whatever I'm doing, I could be doing 10 times more. And I'm only operating again on a certain number of cylinders. I could be producing. I could be accomplishing so much more. That's called Abin HaYelod HaYor HaTashlichu. Don't get carried away with your accomplishments because there's so much more I could be doing. But on the other hand, says David HaMelech, V'chol HaBas Techayun, that's kipish sha'ai ani eda. My mistakes, those have to be kept front and center in front of me at all times. Because if I don't remember my mistakes, if I don't keep my missteps in front of me, if I don't remember my averos, then what? Then what? Then ultimately, again, I will repeat them. Because, you know, we have an incredible capacity not just to forget, but there's something even more powerful than forgetfulness, and it is rationalization, right? I think we spoke about this a little bit last week as well. We have this incredible capacity. You know, sometimes I do something in life, and when I do it in that moment, I recognize, oh my gosh, this was terrible. I can't believe I did it. I feel horrible. Never going to do this again. Here's the plan for change. Then what happens? So already like an hour later, again, okay, I still feel bad, But, you know, I did this because of, and now already there are the contributory factors. Fast forward a week, and now suddenly again, it's turned into a mitzvah. Right? That person deserved it. Or, you know what, they did this. And I did it, and I have an excuse. So it's an amazing power of rationalization. So therefore, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef says, I have to keep my mistakes with me at all times. Because if I don't, A, I will rationalize and justify them. And of course, that's the worst. Because the moment that I begin to rationalize and justify, then I will inevitably repeat these same exact mistakes. That's number one. And number two, again, I have to keep them in front of me at all times in order that I live life with what the Metzudas David called that ongoing life vigilance. So this, according to the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, is the incredible statement of David HaMelech. Ki pesha'ai ani eda v'chatasi negdi summit means, David says, Ribono Sha'olam, do I have accomplishments? Yes, of course I have accomplishments, but I'm not focusing on them. I'm not dwelling on them because no matter what I've done, there's so much more to do. But you know what I do focus on? You know what I do dwell on? My mistakes and my missteps. Because if those are not front and center, in front of my eyes at all times, then I'm absolutely doomed to repeat it. So, I'm sorry?
Why would that not terrify?
Excellent question. So this is, I find this Toldos Yaakov Yosef to be exceptionally problematic. Not problematic, troubling. Troubling. Because the notion of totally kalabin hayilot hayorat hashlichu, of throwing away the mitzvos, right? Not focusing on the good deeds, and yet going ahead and keeping my averos in front of me at all times, would seem to really create a very troubled spiritual persona. Meaning, how does, and by the way, I just want to point out to you, it's also so out of line with the Baal Shem Tov's thinking, right? About the Baal Shem Tov, who is the Toldos Yaakov Yosef's Rebbe, his Rebbe and his Rebbe. This is not how the Baal Shem Tov thought as well. It's not how the Maggid of Mezrich thought as well. So obviously we have to understand that Toldos Yaakov Yosef must be trying to teach us something deeper. So take a look at number four. So there's an amazing Gemara. And this, by the way, we're going to see this discussion we're having now is literally at the root of a major, I don't know if you want to call it hashkafic, philosophic, theological, but at the end of the day, you're going to see it's really an emotional machlokes. Take a look at number four. The Gemara says, Ten Rabbanon, Averos she'svada alei Yom Kippurim zeh. So Averos, that I confessed for this Yom Kippur, lo yisvada alei Yom Kippurim acher. Vem shina bohen, tzarech li'svados Yom Kippur acher. Vem moshina bohen, so listen to this. So the first thing the Gemara says the following. Let's say I did tshuva for Averos last year, right? So Yom Kippur 5777, I did tshuva for Avera A, whatever, you fill in the blank. Avera A. So what happens? Comes, you know, it's almost Elul. You know, it's almost Elul. The Jew always lives. Forget about Pesach, right? Not forget about Pesach, Chas V'Shalom. Right? And by the way, Don't ever be dreaded. Don't ever dread Pesach. Don't ever dread Pesach. If you dread Pesach, it's just a commercial break. If you dread Pesach, I'm telling you, you're doing something wrong. And I would urge you, if you dread Pesach, reach out to your local Orthodox rabbi. Say, Rabbi, Rav, Rebbe, wherever you go to, and say, I have terrible feelings about Pesach. Can you help me? Because you need help. Because Pesach is a gift. Everything in Yiddishkeit is a gift. And if you're not enjoying it, and if you're not loving it, and if it doesn't put a smile on your face, and then your Shema, I'm telling you, you're doing it wrong. Okay, but back to our regularly scheduled program. So now again, besides Pesach, it's almost Elul. The Jew always lives. It's almost always Elul. It's almost always Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, I did tshuva for Avera A in 5777. Comes 5778, Haba Aleinu Letova. Do I have to do tshuva for the same Avera again? So the Gemara says, well, let's start with the easy case. What's the easy case? If I repeated this sin, right? If I repeated Avera A over the course of the year, then what? Then of course I have to do tshuva for it. That's easy. What if I didn't repeat it? I Baruch Hashem, it was a good year. I did tshuva for 5777 for Avera A, and Baruch Hashem, I didn't repeat A. I mean, I did B, C, D, and E, but Baruch Hashem, I didn't repeat A, which, by the way, is an accomplishment, right? We're never expected not to sin at all. So I didn't repeat Avera A. So do I have to do tshuva again for Avera A the following Yom Kippur, 5778, if I didn't repeat the mistake during the year? So the first thing the Gemara says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's done. Case closed. You did tshuva. You said you're sorry. You owned it. You fixed it. You didn't repeat it. Done. Move on. And if you go ahead and you bring up that sin again, this is what the Gemara says, I love HaKasav Omer, number four, third line, about such a person, the Pasuk says, Kekelev Shav Al Keo, Ksil Shona Be'ival So. Like a dog who returns to its vomit is a fool who returns to his sin. So literally, again, you see the Gemara uses quite descriptive. Literally going ahead and bringing up a sin that you did not repeat, that you already did tshuva for, is like a dog returning to its vomit. You'll excuse me for... But that's the illustration. That's the first way in the Gemara. If you did tshuva and you didn't repeat it, close the door on it, move on in life. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says no. Kol shekein shehu meshubach. No, not at all. Even Baruch Hashem, if I did tshuva for Aveira A in 57-77 and I didn't repeat it, I still have to mention it again in Yom Kippur 57-78, and not just 57-78, but 57-79 and 80-81 until Ad Bias Goa forever. Shene Emar, where does Rabbi Lozzi get this from? Psha'ai ani eda v'chatasi negdi summit. So where does Rabbi Eliezer get his proof from this from? From our pasuk in Tehillim. That David HaMelech teaches us the idea that we must be ever aware, ever mindful, and yes, ever supplicatory, and ever repentance-filled over our sins, even if I have not gone ahead and repeated that transgression in the last year. If I did it, essentially, again, I have to do tshuva for it for the rest of my life, I have to remember it for the rest of my life, and I have to keep it ever present in front of me for the rest of my life. So you understand, this is, so the Gemara actually goes on, which we're not going to do the rest now. So you understand, this is a fundamental dispute. A fundamental dispute about how I deal with past transgressions. Again, it goes without saying, if I repeated the sin, of course I have to go out and do tshuva. But if I didn't repeat the sin, I got my act in order, I turned my life around, do I need to still focus on the sin or not? Fundamental dispute. First opinion, the Gemara, we call the Tanakhama, the rabbis say yes, you have to go ahead and focus. Excuse me, I'm sorry. No, you do not. Once you've done tshuva, you haven't repeated the sin, case is closed, done. And if you go ahead and you bring it up again, it's like returning to your vomit. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Now, you understand the position of the Rabbanan, right? Let it go. Let it go. Sometimes in life, in order to go ahead and make a new start for yourself, you have to let go of the past. We know that when it comes to interpersonal relationships, right? If you harbor animosity, and this is true in a marriage, this is true in a friendship. If I, you know, sometimes people say that they forgive, that they forgive. So what's the true litmus test of forgiveness? What's the true litmus test? So what's, right? My spouse wrongs me, and I say, it's okay, I forgive you. So the true litmus test of forgiveness is when the next fallout occurs. So then what happens? If you're able to rattle off 20 years of misdeeds, boom, what you did, you're not sorry. You did this, and you did that, and you did this, and you did that, and it's alphabetized, and it's categorized, right, from most severe to less severe, right? And I could name dates and everything. Then you haven't forgotten. Then you haven't forgotten. What you do is you keep it down below, but you have not forgotten. And you know, relationships like that do not last. They can't last. Because when a person is lugging around animosity every single day, I just do a good job at keeping it a little bit beneath the surface, but it's ready to bubble up in any moment, it can't last. Because if you have such anger and such animosity, then it's impossible to build a loving relationship on. It's not just a marriage, it's any life relationship. So the Rabbanon say, you gotta let go. It's not just true to the other, it's true with myself as well. If I'm gonna rebuild, and I'm going to make myself into a better me, then I have to let go of some of the animosity I have towards myself. Right? I'm upset at myself for my misdeeds. I'm upset at myself for my mistakes. If I don't let go of that, I can't progress. I can't grow. I cannot become more. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. B'psha'ai ani eda v'chatasi negdi summit. Not true at all. My sins, my misdeeds, my mistakes are ever present in front of my eyes. How do we... Now again, you understand, this is a major machlokas. It's not just like a philosophical machlokas. This is a major dispute that shapes how we do tshuva. That shapes how we do tshuva. Essentially, is tshuva a continuum experience? Or is the tshuva just every year builds on the other, and this year I'm going to do tshuva for what I did 57, 77, and all the years before? It's a continuum? Or do we say, no, each year is looked at as it's on its own? So look at number five. The Rambam says, and again, the Rambam, remember, wrote the rule book, the law book, on the laws of tshuva. If you want to know how to do tshuva, you want to know the mechanistic framework for tshuva, you open up the Rambam's 10 chapters of Hilchos Tshuva, and so what does the Rambam say? Number 5, chapter 2, halacha 8. Averos shesivand aleim yom kippurim zeh. Averos that I did tshuva for, that I confessed about on this Yom Kippur, chozer umisvad aleim biyom kippurim acher. You have to continue to do tshuva for them even in a subsequent Yom Kippur. Afal pishu omed bitshuvaso. And that is true, says Rambam, even if what? Even if I am still steadfast in my tshuva. In other words, even if I have not repeated the mistake, I still have to do tshuva for the act. In other words, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, that when I have to do tshuva for a particular misdeed, essentially for how long? For the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, I have to do tshuva for the sins that I've committed in the past, even if I have not repeated those behaviors in the last year. And what pasuk does he quote? All roads lead back to Sefer Tehillim, Shene Emar, Ki Pesha'ai Ani Eda V'Chatasi Negdi Samid. For I know my transgressions, and my sins are always opposite me. So you understand that the Rambam paskins like this, the Rambam holds like this, halacha lemaisa in a practical sense. Therefore, says the Rambam, when I get to Yamim Noro and 57, 78, Tabal, Lino, Lutova, I have to do tshuva for everything and anything I have done throughout my life. Throughout my life. Yes. Oh, so that, excellent. So there's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of halachic discussion about this, about what does this apply to, bin adol l'makom, bin adol l'chaveiro, both. Not our topic for today. When it comes close to the Yom Noro, maybe we'll come back to this, but that is a big machlokas who this applies to. So again, I'm just pointing out that this is a very dramatic Rambam. A very dramatic Rambam, because again, now I have to do tshuva for anything and everything I've done over the entirety of my life. And the truth is, more than dramatic, it's troubling. It's troubling because essentially what you're telling me, Rambam, is that I can never put anything behind me. That pretty much I have to go through life lugging my spiritual, emotional baggage with me. Now the truth is, so some of us travel light through life, right? Some of us, Baruch Hashem, the baggage we have is only in a carry-on. Many of us have already purchased multiple extra pieces of luggage, right? And I'm schlepping stuff around, and I got the guy, the SkyCap guy, and he has the big cart, and he's carrying it right behind me. It's very damaging to carry that stuff through life. Meaning, at some point in time, conventional wisdom always says, I need to let go. I mean, if I have to do it with the other, how can I not do it with myself? You're telling me now, Rambam, that literally for the rest of my life, you know, and again, all kidding aside, some of us have made very dramatic mistakes in life, severe mistakes in life, that have had repercussions on ourselves, that have had repercussions on our families, that have had repercussions on our friends, and we tried to pick up the pieces to put ourselves together and to do better in life. And now you're telling me that I have to remember this. Every single, and by the way, you understand, I want to just point out, tshuva is not just done in Chodesh Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. A Jew does tshuva every single day. Right? In Shmor Esrei, they say, Slach lona avinu ki chatanu, mechalona makinu ki farshanu. In Shema Kolinu, there's a beautiful, beautiful additional paragraph that says, Ana Hashem, chatasi avisi upashati lefanech. Rimosh, I have sinned before you. Va'asisi, and again, there's a fill in your sin here. Va'asisi kach v'kach, I've done this. So really, every single day I have to relive the spiritual trauma of my life. Every single day I have to relive, you know, I'm a different person. I'm not the person who made those mistakes. I've grown. I've progressed. I've changed. And now you want to tether me to that, to eternity? So how am I supposed to understand it? But yet again, that's what the Rambam says. That's what Rambam says. Rambam codifies this. Halach l'maisa. This is how, according to the Rambam, if I don't do this, if I don't remember my past misdeeds, I have not fulfilled tshuva in its entirety. How do we understand it? Take a look at number 6. And this is going to forever change your life. This is from the Sefer, Siduro Shel Shabbos. And you can see over this is Rav Chaim Ben Reb Shlomo Tir of Chernowitz. So you can see over here a little bit of his, another one of the great Hasidic masters. So look what he writes. So the Sidura Shel Shabbos is bothered by our question, or we're bothered by his question, which is, This seems to be such an emotionally unhealthy approach, to always take all of your spiritual baggage with you throughout the entirety of life. How could this be good? So look what he writes, and get ready for this. V'yirtzel dvarinu. So what does this mean when David HaMelech says, God, I'm going to keep my I know my transgressions and I'll keep my sins opposite me at all times. It's not that David HaMelech was afraid that he wasn't forgiven. Why? Because David HaMelech is not afraid of being forgiven. Now first of all, there's a very simple reason. Why isn't David HaMelech afraid of being forgiven? Why? He was told. Remember again, we saw in last week's shir, the Navi told him, you're forgiven. Right? David HaMelech owned his sin. He said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And the Navi said, you are forgiven. Remember, that's why his life was spared. He should have died for this infraction. He does not. He is forgiven. But even more than that, even without the words of the Navi, we live life with an optimistic hope that if I am sincere in my tshuva, if I'm really sorry for what I've done, and again, remember, being sorry is part of it. I own it to take responsibility. I create a plan to change. That forgiveness is an absolute certainty. We live our lives, if you know, and this is very important, we do not live our lives quaking in fear of the Ribono Shel Olam. We do not live our lives. Why? For one simple reason. Because the truth is, anyone who lives their life in fear of anything, it's only a matter of time until what? Until you run away. Until you run away. In any life relationship, no one wants to live in fear of anything. At a certain point in time, a person summons up the courage and says, you know what? I don't need this. That's what Rabbi Yitzhak Berditchev says when we speak about Yiras Hashem. So he says, Yiras Hashem is often translated as fear of God. The Rebbe says, Chas v'shalom. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't want us to fear him. Yiras Hashem means awe or reverence of God. When you revere something, we see, interestingly enough, when you revere something, you don't go and put your arm around it. Right? When you revere something, it's on a pedestal. It's a little bit out of this. I look up to it. But yet, I want to come closer. I know that I can't come all the way closer because that entity is a little bit elevated above me. It's revered. It's in a state of awe. But I want to come closer. When you fear something, what's the natural inclination is to what? To pull away, right? I fear fire. I don't want to get burned. Therefore, there's only so close I'm going to allow myself to get to the fire. Therefore, the Rebbe says, Yiras Hashem doesn't mean fear, it means reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we live life with an optimistic hope, with an optimism that if I'm sincere in my tshuva, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to forgive me. By the way, the greatest proof to that is, the greatest feeling of elation, of real simcha, throughout the entire year is when? Is Matzah Yom Kippur. Which is so counterintuitive. Now again, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, maybe I have a headache. But there's a feeling of elation, there's a feeling of simcha that sweeps over you when you hear that Hashem Hu Elokim, when you hear that last shofar blast in the middle of Kaddish, there is a simcha that, where is that simcha from? Because I'm going to eat in 10 minutes? That's the simcha? The simcha is because deep down in the Neshama knows I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Salachti. Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha. I forgive you for everything. Ribono Shel Olam loves us. So of course he wants to forgive us. So says the Sidur Shel Shabbos, David HaMelech is not worried about forgiveness. You see, I just want to point out, because if you remember going back to number 2, the Metzudas David in number 2 said, David HaMelech says, I keep my sin opposite me all the time. Why? I'm worried about it. So we discussed being worried about it as repeating the sin, but being worried about it also means I'm worried I'm going to get punished. I'm worried I'm going to get punished. Says Yerushal Shabbos, no, David HaMelech does not have to worry about getting punished for one simple reason. His tshuva was sincere. His tshuva was sincere. And when there is sincere tshuva, the Ribono Shel Olam forgives. So if David HaMelech is not worried about being punished, so why does he have to keep his sins front and center? Watch this, number 6, third line in. Rak shetamid haya negdo ma'asachit. Rather says, Yidur Shav, something amazing. David HaMelech always kept the sin right in front of him. Get ready. Kedei liskor ha'esh tav'eras ha'yitzahara shebar be'es ha'avera. So listen to this. What does David HaMelech want to remember? He wants to remember the intensity of his desire. Remember again, when David HaMelech sees Bathsheba bathing on that rooftop, the intensity of the desire he felt for her was an unstoppable desire. You know, normally the way it works with chet I'll tell you this because you don't know, right? The only way it works with chet is you have a desire for something, and then the best thing you could do is what? The best thing you could do for yourself is count to 10. Count to 10, right? Because what happens? Generally, the way it works is if you take a deep breath, right, and the desire is soothed a little bit. It calms down a little bit. The amazing part about David HaMelech is he sees this woman bathing on her rooftop. He desires her. Now remember, it takes time. He sends for her, right? She has to be brought to the palace. I don't know how much time it took, but it took time. It took time. Yet, despite that elapsing of time, which normally is the best way to combat the Yetzirah, is time. Take a deep breath. It's time. Yet, again, he still burns with desire for her and commits that act with her. So says the Asidur Shab something amazing. David HaMelech says, I keep my sin before me all the time because I want to remember the intensity of that desire. Why? He says, Lakachas osa ato lemitzvas Hashem. And I want to remember that desire because I need to figure out a way to tap into that energy, to tap into that intensity, and use it in the service of God. The Alkane, therefore, David HaMelech says, V'chatosi negdi summit. Therefore, David HaMelech says, I keep my sin opposite me. I'm in number 6, fourth line, in middle of the line. Therefore, David HaMelech says, V'alkane, Omer v'chatosi negdi summit. I keep my sin opposite me all the time. Shetomit mamish negdi achit. I keep the sin opposite me all the time. Do you know why? Not because I'm beating myself up over the sin. I've been forgiven. God told me, I'm confident I've been forgiven. I'm confident in God's ongoing forgiveness. So I don't keep it opposite me because I'm worried I'm going to get punched. Do I keep it before me? Because that sin reminds me how much passionate energy I have. That sin reminds me how much koach I have, how much desire I have. Now, I made a mistake. I channeled that desire in the wrong direction. But if I could harness that energy and rechannel it into something positive, there is no telling what I can accomplish. Sha'avir amidosi mimidas achet. I have to take that energy that unfortunately I used for sin, la'asos hamitzvos, in order to go ahead and do mitzvos. And therefore he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which we'll discuss in a next semester. Lo haya David ra'i la'osa maisa ela la'horos tshuva. Kedei la'at'imo begoda labas ish taverse yitzhara. So listen to this. Do you know why David HaMelech was great? I know this is going to sound a little bit crazy. You know why David HaMelech accomplished so many great things? Because of the episode with Bathsheba. What the episode with Bathsheba showed David was that he possesses this incredible reservoir of passionate energy. That's what that chet showed him. That's what that misstep showed him. I possess this koach. What was the koach of David HaMelech? That if I want something badly enough, nothing will stand in my way until I get it. So David HaMelech says, unfortunately, I allowed that koach, I allowed that strength to be used in the wrong way. But what this episode showed me is that I possess that koach. And now all I need to do in life, not all, because it's no small order, but what I need to do in life is take that koach, rechannel it for good, and there is no telling what I can accomplish. Says the Sidur Shel Shabbos, that's the meaning of the pasuk in Tehillim. V'chatosi ki pesha'ai ani eda. I know my transgressions. V'chatosi negdi summon. My sins are always opposite me. Is not David HaMelech saying I'm going to spend the rest of my life beating myself up over my sins? No. I did my tshuva. I was forgiven and I have to move on. But there is an incredibly positive, cathartic power to remembering my sins. Because if I remember how good I was at sin, if I remember how proficient I was, if I remember the zrizos, the incredible alacrity, the excitement and the zeal over sin, all of that could be harnessed and channeled to good. In other words, the Sidur Shel Shabbos is saying that sometimes the bigger the sin, the more it shows us how much koach we possess. And if I could just take that koach, if I could just take that strength and channel it in the right way, there's no telling what I could accomplish. And now if we go back, now we understand the Rambam. Now we understand Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer says when he, what does he mean when he says that I have to do tshuva every single year for the same chatoim, for the same sins? You know, sometimes in life, The reason we don't accomplish things is why? Why? Truth is, it's not because we're lazy. And it's not because we don't want to. It's really because we doubt our abilities. See, if you ever doubt your abilities to do something, you know the best way to reassure yourself you're capable? Go through the list of the averos I've committed. Because chances are there's a whole smorgasbord of negative activities that are involved there. And amazingly enough, I had the koach to do each of those. If I have the koach to do each of those, that tells me I have koach. And it tells me I have strong koach, especially the more severe the sin. And if I channel those kokos, there is no telling what I could accomplish. That's what the Rambam means when he says that every single year I have to do tshuva for all of my averos. Not that I have to do tshuva for them because I haven't been forgiven. I know I've been forgiven. I'm confident that I've been forgiven. Why? Because the Ribono Shel Olam loves me. And if he knows that I'm sincere, and he knows that I want to be better, and I'm trying harder, of course he's going to give me his forgiveness. That's not a shaila. That's not even a question. So why bring up the past? For one simple reason. Because the past energizes me to take advantage of the present, and the past gives me the confidence to embrace the future. Because when I go ahead and I remember all of my missteps, what I'm reminded of is one simple idea. Wow, I possess a lot of koach. I possess a lot of strength. And if only I would find the ability to harness and channel, there is no telling what I can accomplish. That's what the Rambam means, and that's how the Rambam paskins. And that's why if you go back to number 5, the Rambam says, Averos she'sad leim yom kippurim zeh. That's why, again, even Averos, which I did tshuva last year, and I didn't repeat, Choser u'misvad leim yom kippurim acher, afal pi she'omei b'tshuva, so I haven't done anything wrong. Because the goal of remembering these things is not to beat yourself up over it. You've done your tshuva. You've closed the book on it. It's chizuk. That's the amazing part. It's chizuk. How do I give myself chizuk to accomplish more? Says the Rambam, remember your mistakes. And you can remember them with a little bit of a smile even because you did tshuva for it. You closed the book on it. But if you remember those mistakes, it tells you the koach you have. You could channel that in the right way. And that's Dar HaMelech. So just to kind of draw the circle, we go back to number 1. Says Dar HaMelech, this is what I learned from this episode. Ribono Shel Olam, this one, I know you've forgiven me for Batsheva. I know you've forgiven me for Batsheva. I know Batsheva has forgiven me. I know that you have forgiven me. But nevertheless, keep Isha'ai ani eda vechata si negdi summit. But Ribono Shel Olam, I will forever, for the rest of my life, keep this sin in front of me. Not because I'm worried about punishment, and not because I'm worried that you haven't forgiven me, but for one simple idea. What I've learned from this sin is the incredible koach I possess. When I have a desire for something, David HaMelech says, I have learned I am unstoppable. I am unstoppable. Nothing gets in my way when I want something. David HaMelech says, I will remember this lesson for the rest of my life because it's this message and it's this lesson that's going to give me the chizuk to accomplish incredibly amazing things. And this, by the way, is how we are able to deal even with the misdeeds of the past. Because sometimes we struggle a lot with the spiritual baggage we have from our past. And sometimes, again, we never know, like, will I ever be able to get over this? And will this forever haunt me? And the truth is, our actions that we've done are forever a part of who we are. But if we grow from them, but more than just growing from them or learning the lessons from them, if I recognize that every single avera represents my capacity and my ability for passionate, dynamic activity, that shows me that I possess a limitless reservoir of incredible spiritual and emotional energy. And if I just find the courage to harness it and direct it in the right way, there's no telling what I could accomplish. All right, we'll stop over here. Mr. Shem will continue next semester together.